I was actually thinking a lot about Hawaii and our honeymoon that we took in May. And it was quite a trip to get there, of course, from the New York area. An 11-hour flight each way. Totally worth it to go direct, even though we couldn't get out of the plane. But we got there really quickly. And then got home really quickly. But one of our family members is, we just had a wedding in Texas last weekend. And they are on a honeymoon in Jamaica. And as they were sending back pictures, it made us both think, ah, wouldn't that be nice to have another one of those? We've had quite the chaotic spring and summer with travel or with people visiting us. And so as we have these next few months, which are football season and I need to stay put, and it's just the best thing to be in a routine as much as possible, we don't have any more traveling ourselves until Christmas. And we might have some family members for Thanksgiving, but for the most part, the next few months are just about finishing what we started at the house. And oh my gosh, Pete, our backyard is a big dig. For those of you who are listening in New England, that term was used for years for a bridge project in Boston. The big dig. Our backyard looks like a construction zone. And here's the funny part. We are only building a 10 by 8. It's 10 by 8. Our shed is bigger than that. It's a 10 by 8 room that will serve as a laundry / mud room. Because right now there's kind of a small hallway off of our kitchen that goes into the backyard. And there's a little patio, but the stones were starting to sink into the ground because the water, it runs from the back. So it's the back of the backyard is slightly elevated. So the patio area was starting to sink a little bit. But also because there is a stackable washer and dryer in that hallway, it's very tight space. I can't walk through it with my shoulders facing forward. I have to move sideways. And of course, so does Bob. And so as we decided what we want to do, he brought, this is why I married him, one of the reasons on the top of the list, he has a full-size washer and dryer. He brought a full-size washer and dryer that are currently in our shed, but they're sitting there, but we can't hook them up in the hallway because they would never fit. And so we've been planning this since last year, saving some money and planning it. We finally went through the whole permit process. That took 2 months. We've got a contractor. He sent a man to dig by hand, because you don't know what's underneath the surface. Mm-hmm. And so they found that there's a pipe that's extended from the back of our house underneath the yard. So that's kind of weird to see the pipe and then just the big dig underneath it. But yeah, half of our backyard is covered by dirt. Our patio is gone. We can't really get to the grill. The hose, he kind of climbed over some dirt to get it on the back of the house. So yeah, our patio is completely covered by dirt. A good portion of the backyard has dirt in it. We had moved the flowers and the plants, so we still have tomatoes on our tomato plants. And we still do have some flowers that are blooming, but those are all in the back of the yard. We can't use the back door. If we tried to open it for the dog, she would fall right into the hole because it's right there. So essentially, they're going to take the back door off and just make that an open space, like an open hallway to get out to the mudroom. And then we'll have the washer and dryer. So it needs to have plumbing. It needs to have electric. It's going to be windows on the back, which will be really nice. And then the door will be on the side to go out to where the grill is. So we're excited about it. It's just, and it shouldn't take a long time. It's just that we had no idea that the digging would be so extensive. I mean, it's deep.
Uh-huh. That will... You'll never realize that with projects like that. My mother-in-law had concrete done, and there was a lot of dirt just moved around, and it was there for a good 6 months after everything was put in and whatnot. Mm. But after that, you have the ability to make it your own.
Yes, then. we're really excited about the dirt. Well, right. And they obviously aren't putting back all that dirt because they have to pour the concrete foundation. We have an inspector coming to make sure it's deep enough on Thursday, I think. And then after that, they can start to pour the foundation. That will be their next step. And they did tell us that some of the dirt will be putting back. But for the most part, you'll have a lot of extra dirt, which is good because we can spread it around. I mean, you know how much dirt actually costs a lot of money if you try to buy it. So we will spread it around in all those various flower beds and our rock gardens and stuff. So I am glad that we'll have the extra dirt. But heavens, if we have to shovel it by hand into a wheelbarrow and then wheel it, otherwise, I don't know how else we'd move it.
Well, here's the big key question. How much of that dirt is filled with the nutrients? Like big nutrients.
I don't know. It came out of the ground. How do you know?
Well, apparently there's different types of dirt.
Oh, yes, of course.
So if it's the good dirt, then you're really in the money.
Okay, well, even if it's bad dirt, we're still going to use it because we're not going to leave it where it is. But my point is that if it's each of us with a shovel into a wheelbarrow, to move that amount of dirt will take a long time.
Get a big drink.
Oh, my gosh. So, yes, maybe at some point I'll post the photos of what is the big dig in our backyard. So that's our major September and October project, even around football. And then just a few more boxes to unpack and a few more things to hang up. You know how it is. You do a move, and he moved, but I felt like I was moving because a lot of my stuff had to be moved around. And you get to a point where you're mostly done. But there's about five more boxes, or there's six pictures to hang up. I mean, we are mostly done. We've been mostly done since May and then have made no more progress. A couple of closets left to clean out. So, yeah, we're very close. We just need to get a few more things done. But a lot of it has to do with getting the washer and dryer out of the shed so we can put what we need to in the shed and kind of organize that space.
Yeah, look, you got your washer and dryer. That's the main thing.
Oh, so excited. Oh, yes, that's the main thing. He knows. I tell him that I married him for the grill and for his cooking abilities as well as for the washer and dryer. Also, I laugh because when we were going through his kitchen at his home in Texas in advance of the move, I told him multiple times, I have never met a man who has more spices than you do. I'm not joking. He would have three and four containers of one particular spice. Now, part of that is because he'll go to the store and he'll forget what he has, as opposed to making a list. I'm the complete opposite. I'm anal retentive and I'm a list girl. So I would joke, but I'm not kidding, Pete. He has probably 150 different spices / flavors and seasonings. Oh my gosh, we have to have a pantry just for all of his spices. But now he reminds me that I can't love the fact that he seasons the chicken or the meat, the fish, the steak, whatever, and then make fun of him for all of his spices. So he's definitely more, when it comes to the spices, he's more of a hoarder than I am. I'm pretty basic with my spices.
Well, we have a lot of spices up in the cabinet, but the problem is we have about 15 cumins, and I can't find garlic powder. So that's the type of
yes
we have.
Well, we're very organized because I organized his spices to the hilt, but still, I tell him all the time, I've never seen a man with more spices than you.
I think you just need garlic powder and everything but the bagel seasoning. That's
Well, he has a lot more than that. I could get by with garlic sauce. Salt. I'm a big fan of garlic salt, garlic powder, a couple of others, onion salt as well, anything to do with salt. But I do always have to have cinnamon in the house for sure, and a couple of other ones. But he's got everything. And I tell you what, he's a great cook, and he's a terrific griller, so I don't complain anymore. Nor do I make fun of him about that. I make fun of him about plenty.
Then there'll be no dinner.
the two of us, we joke about how the other one is super weird, but that's why it works. It's because we laugh like hyenas over how the other one is weird and how weird we are together. So
that's good.
Can you believe we're about to hit 9 months?
Hey.
I know you're way down the road, but we're about to hit 9 months.
It's an accomplishment. Look, every month is a new step in the chapter.
Oh yeah,
and you should be very proud of it.
I am proud of it. We spent 9 months doing long distance, and that was excruciating. And now that we're finally together, we look back on where we were. We got married, and think, who were those people? Because we had a different lived in the same place. So we hadn't lived in the same house, obviously. We hadn't lived in the same state or time zone or zip code or anything. I think we had four or five official dates before we got married. I mean, we'd spent more time together each month, but we had had only a handful of dates before we got married. And so we look back at our wedding photos and we think, oh my gosh, we had no idea what was about to happen.
You know, I had to play that game this weekend, maybe look at the wedding photos from 5.5 years ago and see just where people are at this point.
Yeah. So I actually, and I know I've said this multiple times, I just haven't had a chance because of not having a producer over the summer. There's a lot of extra responsibilities. And then some of the travels. I am nearly finished with a blog post that is actually about the wedding. And the first line is something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. It's not just about the wedding, though. There's a very specific theme and why I'm writing it and how I use that phrase to make sure that some special people were part of the wedding. And so there's a theme to it, but I will for the first time be sharing photos from the wedding, which I have not done at all publicly other than the one that I use as my profile photo on my social. And so I'm excited because there's a reason why I'm sharing these particular photos. And I thought it would be done by 6 months. And now here it is. It's 9 months, but I am going to finish it.
It's like construction. I mean, construction always takes longer than it should.
Let's hope it doesn't with the big dig in our backyard. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Always good to hear from you at A-Law Radio and then on our Facebook page, too. If you have not seen the photos that I posted in honor of 9/11, I had one from the morning and one from the nighttime. And so I'd love for you to check those out. They're on both of our socials. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. Inside of the next half hour, we'll get to some QB news. Joe Burrow does not have a wrist injury, just in case you were worried about him. Aaron Rodgers, well, he's not going to spell out R-E-L-A-X, but he is calling for calm. Daniel Jones, he has a thick skin. I kind of like it. I feel like he does come from the Eli Manning school, where whatever you say bounces off me and sticks to you. You're like rubber. No. I'm like rubber, you're like glue type of a thing. Impressive response from him. So we'll get to some QB news after the update at the bottom of the hour. This portion of the show is sponsored by Hyundai's bold family of EVs that bring a new kind of energy to your journey. The Ioniq 5 and 5N, Ioniq 6 and Kona Electric, the most electric EV lineup. We were just talking about the WNBA and how those playoffs are on the horizon. Of course, baseball has got its postseason on the horizon. October is going to be nuttier than ever because it's not just the NFL and college football, but now with baseball postseason and games nearly every day, you have to throw into the mix the WNBA. And this postseason will be, without a doubt, the most watched postseason in the league's 30-year history, in large part because of Caitlin Clark. Now, the Fever have made the playoffs. We don't yet know the matchups. I think they are three-game series until they get to the finals, but they are getting close. They have just a handful of games left. But yeah, throw that into the mix of what is already a nutty time of year. Usually, and I've branded October the busiest month of the year forever. That's just how it's been because you don't get a break. You literally work every day in October. Unless by some stretch there happened to be a series that finish early in baseball, and so you don't end up having games on, I don't know, on a Friday or a Saturday, something along those lines. But the WNBA playoffs now will be can't miss because of Caitlin Clark and the Fever and all the extra attention. And so there is one spot left that I know of the playoff spots. Seven of them have been secured. And so now you've got three teams battling for one more playoff spot. Also, this is really funny. This is what happens when media companies cut editors or cut personnel. As I was reading here, just to make sure that I got the dates right, it says battling for the final Paloff spot. Not new playoff, tournament. Paloff.
It's a new tournament.
Yeah. So there are fewer than 10 days remaining in the regular season. So again, we're talking about end of September, just like baseball, and then right into the playoffs. Seven teams have already locked up their spots. You've got one to go. The Atlanta Dream, the Washington Mystics, and the Chicago Sky, who do not have Angel Reese. If you missed this, she has a wrist injury that will keep her out for the rest of the season, so will not be part of the playoffs if the Sky make it. She did a TikTok video, and she's got a bunch of social, just explaining what happened with her wrist.
Basically, the doctors told me that I could either not get surgery or have surgery. The risk of not having surgery, I could literally have arthritis at 22 years old. That wasn't an option. The bone could literally crack and literally completely shatter. Right now, it's like a hairline, literally a hairline, like shatter, not even that big. But they're going to put like a small little screw in it. And I wasn't going for it getting any bigger. And long term, I literally could have like not played anymore because my bone is, this is a very hard place to heal because the blood flow is like literally little to none.
So the Sky will not have Angel Reese as she's got her surgery on her wrist. Right now, they are sitting in the number eight spot, but they're 10 games below 500. So that should tell you something. There are only 12 teams in the WNBA. 75% of them make the playoffs. So 8 of the 12 make the playoffs. Right now, the Fever are in the number 6 spot. They are above 500, even with the loss to the Aces on Wednesday. And as we say, Caitlin Clark, she is 5 assists away from setting the brand new single season record for most assists. And that would be either rookies or veteran. She's got 2 triple doubles this season. She had a game with 19 assists. And I think without Angel Reese playing the rest of the way, it's really a no-brainer that she will end up as the rookie of the year in the league. I'm pretty sure Asia Wilson will end up as the MVP again, but we'll wait to see what happens there. And so, yeah, these playoffs are going to start right about the time that we've got the right about the time that we've got the baseball postseason beginning. So yeah, it's going to be nutty, even nuttier than ever. But I was thinking about this because on Sunday, up against the NFL, and we're talking first weekend of the NFL, right? The Fever are still getting more viewers to their games than really anything else that competes against the NFL. Let's see, Fever TV viewership. I want to Google it. Numbers. Sunday.
I believe it was like 1.2 million.
Yeah, I think it was a million and a quarter. Okay, yeah. Let's see. Ion reported. Oh, this goes back to last week. So, well, this is still interesting. Fever versus Chicago. That goes back to Labor Day weekend. Was seen by 1.5 million viewers, and they peaked at nearly 2 million. So the average was 1.6 million, but they peaked at 1.92 million. Okay, here it is. I got it. Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever up against the NFL, or up against an NFL weekend. This is on Ion TV, so not one of your major networks. 1.26 million people tuned in. I mean, that's incredible.
Very impressive.
There are very few other sports or programs at all that attract that type of interest when up against a football weekend, whether it's college or pros, though we know the NFL attracts a lot more attention. So yeah, it's pretty astounding. And that's why I just know these playoffs, they're going to be on national TV. They're going to be more and more people tuned in. And so, yeah, it's going to keep us busy here. Uh-huh. Both the pro, the college football, the baseball postseason. What are the chances that the Fever playoff games actually trump baseball playoff games? I think there's a good chance.
Depends upon who's in the baseball playoffs. If you're really emphasis on Otani and Judge and big stars, it might be like right at this equal.
All right, we'll see.
But let's keep those viewer numbers in mind, especially when the NHL starts, and see how they rate with the NFL. Mm. And it's not going to be anywhere close. No way. I'm very impressed by that.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's really neat how well these games and and the various matchups, particularly the Fever games, have been able to sustain the interest because a lot of people thought it would peak and then it would die out once she got into the WNBA, but it has not been that way at all. 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio. Coming up, and I didn't ever have a chance to mention this. It goes back to last Saturday, my college football viewing experience deep in the heart of Texas. But there's another reason we bring up college football, and I just want you to hear it for yourself. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The snap, play action, looks under pressure, now has running room, but throws for the end zone. Helm caught, touchdown Texas. Quinn Ewers stepped up in the pocket and fired a strike down the center of the field, and the tight end Gunnar Helm has the first Longhorn score of the game. Weisner shifts to the left side of Ewers. Quinn to the snap, rolls left, looking, fires for the end zone, hits, caught, Matthew Golden, touchdown Texas. Right by the pylon, just across the goal line. Ewers rolling to the left, hits Golden with the touchdown strike with 10 seconds remaining in the half.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
From Longhorns Radio, just two of the touchdowns that Texas hung on Michigan at the Big House on Saturday. The final score 31-12. The reason I bring this up is because the Longhorns are now number two in the nation. And I don't know that I would place any stock right now in the rankings. They're really just guidelines, if you will. But Michigan, as the defending national champion, has finally signed its coach to a deal, but not the same as they were a few months ago under Jim Harbaugh. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The Longhorns are easing themselves into their first season in the SEC. And I know it was fairly humorous to see my husband and his brother, as well as their mom, my new mother-in-law, crow and strut and yell and exult over this game on Saturday. So we ended up in Texas on the day of this game for a wedding, a family wedding. The wedding wasn't until late afternoon. I was a little worried, as I told you before the trip, because all of the, well, the majority of the people attending the wedding, it was a 20-something's wedding, the majority of people attending the wedding, including bride and groom, were UT graduates. And so I thought if they get demolished by Michigan, this could be a very sober and somber occasion. But it was not. Instead, there were all kinds of messages flying back and forth and people going nutso. So yeah, big performance for Quinn Ewers. Just a road win for them at Michigan, which is huge. But he had three touchdowns and 246 yards. A big moment. Texas, the first school to beat Michigan and Alabama on the road in consecutive seasons since the late 70s and early 80s in Notre Dame, who, by the way, lost in week two. That's kind of crazy. But it was my first opportunity to watch Texas football with my new Texas family. Wows. It was loud, but that means I fit right in. It was very loud. Here's the funny thing, though, Pete. So we were in an Airbnb in the McKinney area. For those of you who know the Dallas area, it was up near Dallas. We are in an Airbnb that doesn't have regular TV. And so Bob and I come back from a breakfast with actually Mark Singleton and his wife, Mark being the VP of Rudolph Foods, the pork rinds people. Hadn't seen him in person since Las Vegas and the Super Bowl, so we agreed to get together. That was a lot of fun. He talked mostly about fishing and hunting and boating and all that jazz. So it wasn't a business meal. It was just a lot of fun to see them again. So we get back to the Airbnb after our breakfast, and the game had already kicked off. We hadn't checked beforehand to see whether or not the service would be available on this smart TV in the Airbnb. It wasn't. And so right away, the brother, my oldest brother-in-law, is ready to go to a sports bar. Like, come on, come on, come on. We can figure this out. There's plenty of ways to get a free trial for a streaming service. So my husband decides he'll go through the Roku and get a free trial for Roku. Somehow, though, after putting in all our information, which took forever, and meanwhile, they've got the game on their phones, they're trying to pirate it on YouTube or listen to it on the radio, getting all kinds of frustrated because they can't see it. After we input all of our information into the TV for Roku, it just gets stuck and won't process. It asks for a pin, and we don't have a pin. So then we have to just completely back out of that. I ended up signing up myself for a free trial for Sling TV so that we could watch the game. And it was terrific. It, you know, we had no issues with Sling, and the broadcast was fine, and they were able to watch the rest of it. I did have to go back and cancel Sling yesterday just so that I wouldn't end up paying for it. But yeah, so that was, there was a very stressed out family of Longhorn fans until about midway through the first quarter where we're finally able to get the game up. So that was pretty nutso, but I loved it because they're loud and they're obnoxious and they're all yelling, all generations of Longhorn fans, and lots of family text messages back and forth. So I married into a lively Longhorn family.
That sounds like a whole lot of kinetic energy being exerted.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. So that was my first experience with them. And I'm looking forward to it now. We won't be together again until Christmas time, but maybe there'll be a national championship birth to look forward to. So we'll see. Something else, though, as we're talking about college football, because we're getting set for week three now in the college football season. Well, I guess it's technically week two. Technically week two. No, wait, week zero, week one, week two. Never mind, it's week three. I get very confused by the week zero. You've got a lot of talk, obviously, about how much players are getting paid under NIL, or in some cases, just flat out pay to play, thinly veiled pay to play schemes. Well, this was raising eyebrows. The Auburn quarterback, Peyton Thorne, told the Next Round that he is frequently petitioned from gamblers who've lost money for him to pay them back.
In today's world, they come at you in all different angles. You know, you hear it verbally. That's probably the least one. But, you know, just walking down the street, you hear it sometimes. And then obviously the social media is, they hit you on Venmo, all types of stuff. So
they're coming after your Venmo, Peyton.
They're yeah. like, they explain that one to me. I've never heard that. Like, they send you cash.
No, they're definitely not sending cash. Okay. You know, it's funny when they lose money, they want the money back. But when they win money on a parlay, no one's ever sending any money. So
from the Next Round, that's the Auburn quarterback, Peyton Thorne. And yeah, he echoes what we've heard from a lot of athletes. I don't know if you all know the golfer Max Homa, but Max says frequently somehow he says it's really annoying that somehow bettors got a hold of his Venmo account and passed it around. It became public knowledge. And so he was getting petitioned by people who say, hey, you cost me money. You owe me back. Oh my gosh. Isn't that crazy? I can't imagine being a college football player. And I saw this, I think it was a study from a company called Signify, which is an artificial intelligence company, but it's also a partner of the NCAA. They do these types of studies and polls. They indicated in a recent study that 1 in 3 college athletes are getting messages from gamblers and bettors on a weekly basis. And so it's, yeah, you think it's just about the agents and the transfer portal and the NIL. It's not, because young people, college students, are getting approached by bettors. And I'm sure not all of them have altruistic motives. Not all of them are just being jerks and want their money back because, oh man, you cost me money because you lost this game or you didn't perform well. No, I'm sure there are some that are actually asking them to throw games, asking them to change the outcomes of games so that they can come out winners. That's a lot. That's a whole nother layer of trolling / temptation that I fear for young people.
You essentially need a third party if you're a college athlete to handle your money. And you never thought you'd hear that, but with betting now so prevalent and so legal in places, if I'm a college athlete or I'm advising a college athlete, stay off of social media and protect your money. Protect any access to you and your money.
Right? I never would have thought that a college student would need someone to run their social media. But yeah, it's definitely becoming an area where people need a buffer. right? They need that buffer. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on our Facebook page, at A-Law Radio on Twix. I just got this from Greg. When my wife is sleeping, I am as quiet as a ninja. When I am sleeping and she gets up, it sounds like the Ohio State marching band is in my house. Terrific. I actually think I will share that with my husband. I try. That's the thing, is I try to be quiet, but I just am not a quiet person. Shocker. Also, I just saw this from our friend Matthew Keys, who's been on the show before. He's in the Bay Area. He's a media and tech insider. And he says there's something going on with the Odyssey app where you can listen live. For some reason, this is according to Matthew, I don't know if it's the case everywhere or across the country. For some reason, right now, the Bart Winkler show is airing and not our show.
Oh good times.
I have heard from people that the app is a pain in the ass. It's a pain in the app, if you will.
That
there are frequently people that can't hear the show. You can also listen with a variety of other apps like the TuneIn app, the iHeartRadio app. There's a bunch of different ways, SiriusXM app or just SiriusXM 158 in general. So there are other ways that you can listen. So I hope that you're able to find the show without any trouble. At A-Law Radio again, or on our Facebook page. Sorry for the hiccup. I just randomly get hiccups in the show. I think it's because you're intaking the air. Don't know. QB News is coming up next, and Aaron Rodgers has a message for Jets fans. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Pete McCarthy.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
Well, Amy, the Pac-12 is expanding, and they need to. There's only Oregon State and Washington State left after last year's mass exodus. So Boise State, Colorado State, San Diego State, and Fresno State have all been approved to join, according to Yahoo, all of those teams coming from the Mountain West. Shohei Ohtani inching closer to history.
Here's a 1-2. And Ohtani belts this one to right center field and deep. This one heading back. It's gone. A line drive out of here. Into the home run seats. An absolute laser beam for Shohei Ohtani. And it's home run number 47 for the big show.
Dodgers Radio, one of four first inning home runs for the Dodgers. They outslug the Cubs 10-8. The Mariners pick up a game on the Astros thanks to a 5-2 win over the Padres. The Yankees walk off the Royals 4-3-11. Meanwhile, the Orioles were walked off by the Red Sox at Fenway 5-3. The Yanks are now a game and a half up on the O's in the AL East. Francisco Lindor's game-tying ninth-inning home run also ended Bowden Francis's no-hit bid. Mets go on to win over the Blue Jays 6-2. They're now a game ahead of the Braves, who lost in D.C. 5-1. Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson denied allegations of sexual assault and battery that were filed in a civil lawsuit this week. He did so through his attorney, Rusty Hardin. Watson was asked if he's thought about perhaps facing another league suspension.
I haven't had any thought. Honestly, my focus is, again, just being figuring out, you know, Jacksonville's plan on defense and focusing on my craft. To be the best quarterback I can be on Sunday for this team.
The NFL is reviewing the complaints. Watson will start on Sunday against the Jaguars. And Asia Wilson set a new single-season WNBA record for points scored. Wilson leading the defending champion Aces to an 86-75 win over Caitlin Clark in the Fever. Clark struggled mightily with her shot, hitting just 1 of 10 three-point attempts. I'm Pete McCarthy.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
Murray back to throw, and it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Back from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it. Touchdown, LA.
Back to throw, looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's got it!
Yes!
Touchdown! Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Mahomes fires for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Kansas City.
And off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it. End zone touchdown! Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
hanging out with us as we morph into a Thursday morning, just a few hours away from the start of week two in the NFL season. This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Deshaun Watson's attorney, Rusty Hardin, released a statement indicating that he is innocent of all of these sexual assault and battery allegations laid out in a recent civil lawsuit. Deshaun himself speaking out for the first time on Wednesday.
The statement is the response that, you know, we talked about, and you know, everything that he put in that statement is exactly what, you know, how I'm feeling and what we're going, you know, through this process with.
Did you have any idea that this lawsuit was coming when you were playing Sunday?
No, sir. I found out exactly whenever everyone else found out.
We'll let due process play out and follow the NFL's guidelines. We are 100% focused on Jacksonville, 100% focused on going on the road against a good football team, trying to find a way to get a W.
Right now, Deshaun Watson is the starter for week two against Jacksonville. Of course, the Browns are looking for a better performance than they had at home against the Dallas Cowboys. NFL is investigating, and that's how we will handle it. We will wait and see what happens. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Also in the AFC North, TV cameras catching Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow kind of flexing his wrist a little bit, moving it around, kind of what you would do if your hand fell asleep and you were trying to get the feeling back. What was that all about?
When you come back from injury, you're always trying to keep the joint loose. That's part of ligament injuries. If you don't move it, you're going to lose it. So I'm always moving around, keeping it loose, keeping my mobility the way that it's supposed to be. So, you know, it's going to continue to happen. I do it at home. I do it here. I do it all the time.
The Bengals on the road at the Chiefs this weekend. So there's another doozy for the Chiefs. Back-to-back games at home to start the season, but two very difficult opponents. So how does the wrist feel, Joe?
Feels great. Feels better this week than it did last week, than it did the week before. So it's continually getting better.
Good to hear. That's music to the ears of Bengals fans. Of course, they started out with the bar very low and have zero place to go but up. But if they lose to the Patriots in a dud and then lose to the Chiefs on the road in Kansas City, whew, that's an 0-2 hole they have to climb out of. The Jets could be staring at an 0-2 hole as well, but Aaron Rodgers is trying to tell fans to breathe. It's not quite R-E-L-A-X, but it's a different version of that.
It's a long season. I think at times people think the season is like you're out in the prairie or the desert and you're wandering around trying to find water. But it's more like a nice, slow bolero, you know, where we're just swaying with the music and,
heavens,
reacting to whatever comes to us and through
Stop
us.
It.
The league is a lot different than when I said relax years ago, in that there's just so much more coverage, that there's so much more opportunity for overreaction. So I get it. We want to win. Fans want to win. The organization wants to win. But the process has to be the same. You know, if it's good enough in week one, it's good enough in the playoffs.
A nice slow dance where you sway to the music. What about the NFL is a nice slow dance where you sway to the music? I do not know what goes on in his head sometimes. Anyway, Jets fans, you're 0-1. He wants you to just grant them some patience, all right? I feel like that would be the easiest way. In Green Bay, there is no more Aaron Rodgers, and there may or may not be a Jordan Love for week number two, but Matt LaFleur is not closing that door.
I'd say it's pretty open. He's doing a nice job. He's spending a lot of time in the training room. Our guys have done a great job with him, Flea and Nate, and all our athletic trainers, our strength staff. But at the same time, like I told you guys, he's got to be cleared. We got to feel like he can protect himself, and he's got to be confident enough to go out there and do that. Until that happens, then we're not even going to think about that.
Green Bay hosting the Colts in the season opener at Lambeau Field, and Malik Willis may very well end up as the starter for the Packers, even though he's been with the team just a few weeks. We had talked to Andy Herman about a stripped down playbook. Matt LaFleur?
I think there's a lot of trust both ways, you know, in terms of him trusting that we're going to do our best to put him in the best possible position to make sure we're dialing up the things that we think they potentially could do to us from a defensive standpoint and attack those perceived weaknesses or whatever they may be in a certain coverage, a certain defensive scheme. And then, again, it comes back, go through the process, go through it. Whatever he does not feel comfortable with, we'll probably X out. And things he feels really comfortable with, we'll make sure we highlight and get dialed up.
We'll X him out if he doesn't feel comfortable with them. So I feel like the Packers, after that loss in Brazil against the Eagles, must feel like it was a missed opportunity, and now they could be moving forward without Jordan Love. So there's, you know, some trepidation there, but not as bad as what New York Giants fans are feeling after week number one when their team did not even have a touchdown, and it was woeful with Daniel Jones. He got heckled mercilessly even as he was leaving the stadium on Sunday.
They're upset and frustrated, and we're frustrated too, so I understand that. I'm not easily offended. I understand you know how it works, and I gotta play better. We all gotta play better in terms of other people and what they have to say or what they think from their perspective and what their observations are. It's really not very important to me.
Well, that's good to know, because you're going to need to have a thick skin to make it through another season of this if the Giants don't improve. 22 of 42, 186 yards, two interceptions, five sacks, so not all on him, but a passer rating of 44.3. Who had a worse season opener? Was it Daniel Jones or Marvin Harrison Jr., who ends up with just four targets and one catch for the Cardinals?
Well, definitely wasn't what I expected, but I wanted to happen, what the team wanted to happen. Obviously, he wanted to come out with a victory, and we didn't do that.
Nothing changes. You know, we're you know, we got the utmost confidence in what we're capable of. I don't know if you went back and watched the game. You know, I think they were doing a good job of making sure that he wasn't going to be singled up, or not be singled up majority of the game. But nothing. I'll never lose confidence in Marv. You know, his first game. We got to continue to get better, and we will.
I have no doubt that Marvin Harrison will end up as a major weapon in that Cardinals offense. And, yeah, Kyler Murray, Marvin Harrison Jr., they certainly want to work together. It's up to Drew Petzing and the offensive staff to find ways to get him the football, right? So, yeah, you can say he was guarded closely and the opponents are paying a lot of attention to him. And this is the Bills defense, right? So they're rebuilt a little bit and certainly knew that Harrison could be a threat. But the best receivers in the league, and he is expected to be one of those who jumps in and makes an impact right away, the best receivers in the league find ways to get open, and it's up to the coordinators, it's up to the play callers, it's up to the quarterback to make sure that they've got the ball in their hands. Again, the best receivers, they find ways to get open, even with the coverage, even with all the extra attention from the defense. So just a little taste of QB news as we look ahead to week number two. If you missed my conversation with Steve Wyche, chief national reporter from NFL Network, joined us from LA earlier in the show, and we talked about some of the quarterback dilemmas, conundrums, if you will, one of those being, what do the Giants do with Daniel Jones? Really great conversation. We'll bring back part of it this coming hour. Also, if you missed my photos from 9/11, the anniversary of 9/11, I took one just a few hours ago of the Towers of Light. I'd love for you to check it out at A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.